Good to be in church this morning. No other place I'd rather be. And in this Advent season, wow, it's wonderful. Hope you've been blessed by the carols. We've been talking, this is week two of our carols series where we're talking about Christmas carols. And even in Sunday school, adult Sunday school, Pastor Anna's been talking about different Christmas carols. So if you'd like more meaning with the season, if you'd like to hear more about what these songs are, you can come on Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. And then, of course, as she mentioned before, the Bible app has that as well in the daily reading plan. It's a wonderful thing. Well, these carols, oh yes, dismissing kids. Have a good time down there, kids. So talking about carols, our intent in this and our hope, actually, is that when you think of these carols, when you hear these carols out and about shopping or whatever, or just whenever it just comes to mind or enters your heart, you would think about what we've been mentioning about these carols. Maybe something you've heard your whole life. You know, these songs are older than any of us, most of them. And so maybe there's a truth that you've never heard there before. And so our hope is that you'll catch some of that, the powerful messages that they really tell. May Christmas never grow dim or troublesome to us. You know, they tell the awesome story of Jesus coming to earth. Next week, Pastor Anna is speaking on Away in a Manger. And so I'm sure that's going to be great. So you don't want to miss that. But today we're talking about O Come, All Ye Faithful. Oh, Pastor Anna, could you go relieve? Yeah. A little bit of housekeeping there. O Come, All Ye Faithful. It was originally written in Latin. Did you know that? Here's some background information for you. Adeste Fidelis, and I probably said that wrong, but I'm not a Latin speaker. That's what it was titled, and it is attributed to John Francis Wade. He was a hymnist or a hymn writer in the 18th century, and we know the English title, O Come, All Ye Faithful, because it was translated by Frederick Oakley in 1841. And this is an amazing song, and I came across an amazing version or rendition of it, actually because we partner with Life Church in Oklahoma City. This is actually their worship team and stuff. And so here's a video. I know that you'll be blessed of O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Joyful air.
That was good, huh? Amen. Well, the song can kind of be intimidating, even just thinking about the title, O Come All Ye Faithful, and then the other words, joyful and triumphant. You know, in fact, sometimes we just feel not joyful, not triumphant, not faithful. Sometimes we may feel doubtful instead of faithful, maybe depressed instead of joyful, maybe even defeated instead of triumphant. Maybe there's some doubt in your life. There's a faith issue that you believed for something and it didn't come to fruition, or you thought that something would come to pass and it hasn't yet. Maybe you're dealing with depression over finances. Maybe you thought, hey, I thought I would be a better place by now. Maybe defeated in everything, just picking even the wrong line to check out from Walmart. You know, maybe there's silly things or serious things that are defeating you and making you feel like this is not a very good time of year when we're supposed to be. Now, if you can't relate, if you are perfect in this place, then you don't have to listen. You can just tune out, and this message isn't for you. This is for all of us that might have had or are currently struggling in maybe some of these areas. But for all of us unperfect people, I have good news, and that's that Jesus doesn't call perfect people. Who does he call? If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. Who does Jesus call? Number one, he calls the weary and the burdened. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Weary, burdened. Are you a little tired in this place? Maybe you've done some Christmas shopping. Maybe you haven't even started and it's overwhelming. It's okay. Jesus calls you. Jesus also calls, number two, the sinners. Matthew 9:12-13. On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus calls all of us who are sinners. None of us are perfect. We're not in that perfect place. I'm a perfectionist. I try, you know, and I always am not measuring up. And it's okay, because Jesus doesn't call perfect people. He calls imperfect people. And so really, we could rewrite this song. O come, all ye sinners, ye weak and weary. But here's other good news. He doesn't just leave us there. He calls us in this troubling state where we are, where things aren't great, but he doesn't leave us there. Jesus has something for you when you call on him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. That's really good news for all of us. God wants you to become something different. When you call on him for salvation, when you ask for forgiveness of your sins, he says, yes, come into my family. I'm adopting you into my family. I'm not leaving you. You know, he accepts you where you're at, in your brokenness, in your sinfulness, in your burden. But he doesn't say, oh, well, I'll be with you. He says, come with me. I have something better for you. Amen? That's awesome, encouraging. So he wants us to become something. So don't think that I'm going to say, well, here's what he wants you to do, X, Y, and Z, because God is more interested in our being than our doing, okay? When you become a Christian, it's not about doing this, that, or the other thing. It's about becoming more like his son, Jesus. That's been a real thing in my life that I've had to wrestle with, that I'm so concerned about doing things for the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with doing things for the Lord, because out of our love for him, we want to do. But he's more concerned about our being than what we are doing. So he wants you to become or be something different. And again, in his mercy, he doesn't leave us alone in this process. He doesn't just say, oh, you're broken, you're weary, come with me, and you've got to figure it out on your own. No, he says, come to me, and I will give you rest, and I'll lead you in this new way. I'm making you a new creation. It's past tense in that you are a new creation, you are changed, but it's a process that we go through as well. And he helps us. So let's look at what he helps us become. Number one, Jesus helps us become more faithful. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Jesus is the author of our faith, and he is the perfecter of our faith. We're not. We don't work hard enough to become so. We don't figure things out to become on a elite level or even playing field with God. He is the perfecter of our faith. Faith comes from Jesus. He's the source. And how does he perfect us? Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That's the ESV. Jesus is the word. Jesus speaks to us. Jesus is the written word made alive. He speaks to us. He leads us. He's the author of our faith, and he changes us the more we apply his word to our lives. And I know that bad things happen, even in times that are supposed to be joyful. We prayed for some families that are going through some hard times, and maybe you are as well, and I didn't know to pray for you, and that's fine. I remember it was Christmas season. I couldn't remember what year when I was thinking about it, when my grandmother died. She was the most faith-filled person that I had known in my whole life up to that point. I was 13, and she's still one of the top two or three faith-filled people in my life. She had cancer, but she was believing for a healing. She was believing for a miracle, and I actually inherited two Bibles from her, and tons of scriptures just circled, highlighted, and things written out claiming that healing, and I believe she was healed when she transitioned to her heavenly body. But in that moment, it was hard for me as a 13-year-old, very fragile in my faith. It was challenging to my faith. I grew up in church. I knew that Jesus was the only way, but I had struggled with some things, and seeing this faith-filled person on her deathbed at Christmas time, that's hard. I remember we were singing Christmas carols around her bed, and I just can't help but wonder what she thought. She wasn't communicating with us, but I just wonder if she thought she was hearing angels. Not that we were great singers or anything, but it was just a holy moment. It was so special. And then just a few days after we had returned home from that time with her, we got the call that she had passed. It was a challenging time. I remember wrestling with God and saying, well, she's like way up here, and I'm like nobody, nothing in faith. If her faith didn't add up or measure up or didn't save her, what chance do I have? And I had to really process through that. And I'll tell you, in case you didn't know, I trusted God more. I didn't let that come between him. I said, if my grandma trusted you with her whole life and death, then I will as well. But something else that got me through is God's word. God's word became alive. And as I began to let him speak to me, He spoke to me through scriptures like Isaiah 43. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He is my God. He is my Savior. I walk through hard times, even since I've dedicated my life, even since I answered the call to ministry, even since I said, yes, I'm all in, God. There are times that are trying, but God still provides. He still walks with me, and I know that's true for many of you as well. These scriptures, they comfort us. For those that are of us that are followers of Jesus, we've given our lives to him. This scripture and many others should build our faith, that God wants to comfort us. We're not alone, that Jesus wants to build our faith. There are tons of scriptures that are meant to build our faith, and we just have to do a little bit of application in finding them, right? God's not going to download information to us. He might remind us of something that we've heard a while ago, but we still have to look it up and let him work in our lives. Number two, Jesus helps us become more joyful. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's actually the second one mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and on and on. But I'll pause there and just mention, you know, fruit is a natural byproduct of a fruit tree, right? An apple tree doesn't stand there in the grove and try to push out apples. It just happens naturally. It produces apples. And likewise, it doesn't, I'm going to push out an orange. No, it's not going to do that. It produces what it is. And so is for the Christian as well. Fruit should be springing up from our life. We don't have to, it should be natural. And so if it's not happening, if you read on in Galatians chapter 5, the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, and you're wondering where those are, seriously, pray about it and ask God to help those fruit be developed in your life. But joy is one of the fruit of a right relationship with God. This fruit is not something that we can create on our own, right? We know that joy is different than happiness. Happiness depends on our happenings, but joy depends on Jesus. I love that quote because I've known for a long time there's a difference between being happy and there's a difference between being joyful, right? Joy can't be taken away. Happiness comes when you receive something. It's Christmas time. You're going to get gifts. You're going to be happy at Christmas time. But joy will come even if you get nothing for Christmas. If somebody says, you deserve a brick of coal, hey, I still got my joy. You know, that may not be true. I've got joy, you know. It doesn't matter what happens to you. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on Jesus. So those things that go on around you make you happy, but what Jesus does inside you brings you joy. Joy. And we see this in the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, in verse 10 and 11. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Joy. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." Let me just personalize that. A Savior has been born to you. The Savior has been born to you. The Savior has been born to you. The Savior has been born to you this day in the town of David. He's been born for each of us. That should bring us joy. He's not just, I think I've said it before, he came for the whole world, but you are his whole world. He came for you. It's not just a big thing. Oh, he loves humanity. Well, I'm just one of the billions. No, he came for you and you and you. Jesus helps us become more faithful. Jesus helps us become more joyful. And Jesus helps us become more triumphant. Oh, come all you faithful, joyful, and triumphant. You see where this has come from? The carol. And sometimes we need another person in our lives to help us feel more triumphant. I was thinking about this week of, I've experienced that. And maybe you have too, if you think about a story in your life that, honestly, this was not one of my more shining moments, so I'm gonna be transparent with you. I'm at youth camp there in Ogden, and I was about to go into a fight at youth camp. Well, I was, you know, stupid enough to go into a fight, but to boost my ego even more, I said to my friend, "Jason, get my back," and I went through the door to approach this kid. He just knowing that my friend was gonna be behind me, just made me a little bit more ready to go. Now, nothing happened, okay? It was youth camp, so the Holy Spirit fell and we all got saved. No, we didn't really fight. We talked it out. But that instance of just having my friend, I just said, "Hey, I need you to get my back," made me a little bit more bold, made me a little bit more triumphant. I was more empowered because my friend was with me. Many times, in our Christian lives, in our daily walk with the Lord, we're not even realizing who he is and who has our back. Isaiah chapter 9 foretold or prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus was born, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called," now listen to this, because this is who he is, "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." That's pretty triumphant. We see in Christmas time manger scenes and, you know, the Holy Family or whatever, Mary, Joseph, and little baby Jesus, and it's kind of delicate and even flowery. Yeah. But what we need to understand, who it is that is lying in that manger, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the chosen one to save us from sin, the author and perfecter of our faith, the Prince of Peace, the bread of life, the light of the world, the Savior, and the lifter of our heads. As the song says, "Born the King of Angels, we come to adore him, for he is Christ, the Lord." And he is not always a baby, but he's got our backs. He's got our backs. He is all those things and more. So today, maybe you need to hear for the first time this truth that has been ringing out for centuries. "Oh, come, all ye faithful." Not because we are faithful, but because he is. He is faithful, joyful, and triumphant. He's helping you become more faithful and joyful and triumphant. "Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes as we reflect. May we become more faithful. Maybe for the first time, maybe there's people in this room or within the sound of my voice that have never crossed that line of faith, said, I have no faith. I have no hope in Jesus. I want to encourage you to cross that line, to take that step, to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. For those of us that do know Christ and we're following him, I want to encourage you to grow in your faith. And may we become more joyful, not just happier people, but may we truly experience the good things that the Lord gives us, joy flowing from the Holy Spirit who is changing us to be more and more like him. May we become more triumphant, realizing who this baby is in the manger, that he would grow up, conquer death, cancel the death penalty over us, and will ultimately one day take us to be with him forever. And again, this is done through a right relationship with Jesus, and that is the greatest Christmas gift that you could receive. Still with every head bowed and every eye closed, is there anybody here that would like to make that profession of faith, maybe for the first time? Maybe you need to rededicate and say, "Pastor Rob, pray with me, pray for me, that I would be forgiven of my sins and receive Christ in a new and fresh way this Christmas. Just as Christ entered the world, I want him to enter my heart and my life." Jesus, we just pause and thank you for your arrival. We thank you that you speak truth to us in many different ways, and through your word, you are the author and perfecter of our faith. We thank you that you are the Word of God, that you were made flesh and bone, that you lived among us, you walked with us, that you died for us. So Lord, I thank you that we can have faith in you, that we can receive the Holy Spirit, and that you will continue to perfect us. And I know we won't be perfect until we see you face to face, But God, that thank you for that process that you bring us into. I pray that as we go through this season of Christmas, Advent, that you would help us to pause and reflect. It's so easy to get so caught up in the busyness of the holidays. But let us pause, reflect, remember this awesome miracle that God sent his son Jesus to come to the earth, to be born of a virgin, to live among us. So thank you for your awesome plan of salvation. May this continue to be the most meaningful Christmas, Lord, as we grow our faith and as we share our faith at this Christmas time. Bless each one as we go from this place into our family activities and all that you have for us this week. May we return here next week, rejoicing and being thankful and sharing what you have done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.